Hey everyone, it's Noah. Really excited for you guys to get to listen to this incredible episode with Jenny Sandler. Before we dive into it, I just wanted to let everyone know about a really great opportunity. June 27th through 30th, I'll be co-leading a four-day backpacking trip for up to 10 fathers. It's going to be really special, full of ritual, celebration, ceremony. We'll have some councils. There'll be time to learn from nature, from each other, and to reconnect with ourselves. All the information is on our website at councilofathers.com, and you can always email me to learn more. Without further ado, enjoy the show. Hi, and welcome to the Council of Fathers podcast. I'm Noah.
This is Dave.
And we are here to explore the wild journey we call fatherhood. We're here today with a very, very special guest, our dear friend Jenny.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm so excited to dive in and learn and explore with you. Just a brief introduction for our listeners. Jenny Sandler is a Boulder-based parent support professional, aka parenting coach. And she is amazing, and she has helped me and my family so much, so many times. She has a master's in social work and has done training with the Denver Family Institute, and she's been a therapist for years and is a licensed social worker, and she's so honored to be working with parents, and we're so honored to have her here with us. She has two kiddos, 9 and 12. Okay.
Yeah, Jenny.
It's so good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for asking me. I'm so touched and honored.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason we wanted to have you here is because we know your skill set very well. Both Noah and I have benefited from your skill set. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason is that we sometimes ask for feedback about the show, and people are like, have more moms on. And who better, you know, to have than you. And the other reason is that you've just started a new adventure, a new journey. And we're really excited to have you share that with our listeners. Like, you're offering something that we really want folks to hear about. It's awesome. And yeah, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that. Like, what are you up to now? What are you offering?
Thank you. Well, it's interesting because there's a part of it that feels new and a part of it that feels so very old and more like a stepping into the next chapter of it. But I am here to support parents in their parenting journey. And I came to it from my own humble space of, it was very hard for me, my initiation into parenthood. And I really sought and looked for mentors in ways where this would feel really good for me and would be a place of healing and support for me and also for my children. And so that is what I'm passionate about now. And so what I do for our clients is offer that on a one-on-one situation or with the couple, and then also in a group format, because we're not meant to be doing this alone. And so the more we can do this in community, I think the better for everyone.
Cool. Beautiful. And when you say do this, right, you're talking about parenting. And I'm wondering if you can share just like a little bit about like what that means for you, to you.
The journey of parenthood. I really think of it, what comes to my mind is like almost an initiation over and over again. And these opportunities for us to understand ourselves within the context of these incredible beings that are our children and have a mirror up for what it is that we need to look at and explore for ourselves so that we can come to the relationship and be in support and role model to these children with ideally as much clarity as possible. But it really does feel like an initiation over and over and over again. And I mean, like, on a daily or multiple times a day, I'm like, oh, look at that. That's something else. That's something else that I could look at. I could explore for myself. And how is it that I want to show up in this moment for my child?
And I'm curious if you see like a difference in the roles of moms and dads as parents.
I think that a part of what speaks to me in working with parents and families is being more of a container so that each person in the who identifies as parent gets to explore and unpack their own visions of who they want to show up as. And what is this just messaging that was told to me? Do I want to hold on to this or do I want to redo it? Whether it's a father or a mother. And I think it's a yes, both and, if that helps.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I like that a lot that you're saying like each parent gets to choose essentially who they want to be as a parent. Yes. And how they want to express, you know, in that role. And mm-hmm. part of that's examining, you know, what their assumptions around how they would be as a parent are and whether or not they want to, you know, follow through on that or what they want to change. And then the two parents together, you know, get to sort of decide together like, oh, yeah, I think I like that a lot. Sort of the freedom and the agency to both honor like dad as dad and mom as mom, assuming that this is a, you know, hetero couple.
Right.
Right. And the sort of the freedom from sort of traditional roles and traditional expressions of those roles, but also the freedom to embody maybe some of the traditional expressions of those, if that's what feels in alignment with authentic self. That's really cool.
That is exactly it. Thank you for saying it that way. Because, and I think it's really about bringing consciousness to it versus just kind of playing out what we've been given in our own patterns, our own thought, in our own, from our own parents or things that have been passed down to us.
Yeah. That's what I hear you saying is like sort of thinking about what kind of parent I want to be and then allowing my kids to bring that out in me, shape me as a parent, and, you know, doing my own healing in the service of my kids' healing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I even think about it as like, well, here I am. I have a 9 and a 12-year-old that I'm raising. And they are also raising me. Huh. I am a 12-year-old parent. And I feel like it goes hand in hand.
Nice. Yeah. You've been parenting for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your developmental stage as a parent is 12. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then 9 again. Like you're back in 9. Right. Whether you like it or not.
Right. And it's almost like same, but different. Like, oh, I remember this in terms of like what I know as someone who understands child development, and wow, this is a different person and how they're expressing that within this age and phase.
Yeah. So dynamic the way that works. Yeah.
And then I am also dynamically different as my second 9-year-old. How have I changed in these years and how does that play out? And as we're unfolding.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. My current 2.5-year-old is definitely getting a different father as a 2.5-year-old than Hazel or Zephyr did.
Yeah. So connection parenting. Mm-hmm. Why is connection parenting what you practice and support?
So to me, as parents, we we're busy people. We might have one child, two, three, job, partnership, all sorts of things. And connection-based parenting feels like the most efficient, effective, research-based modality or roadmap of parenting as far as it, as far as I've found personally and professionally. It is brain-based and it is attachment-based. And these are things that we now know so much more about because of the brain-based research. So it feels like it's a win in terms of effectiveness for long-term growth and optimization for our children. But it also feels the most empowering and more of a clear roadmap or compass for us as parents. Plus the bonus is that it's like a playground for our own healing within it.
So how does that work? What about it is empowering? Is it just, is it understanding what's going on for the kid and then being able to attune and connect with them more effectively? Like, what is it about this, the connection parenting sort of system that
right.
is effective and that works so well?
Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a number of things. One is taking the child's development into consideration. Like, what is this brain actually able to do at 2 years old or 7 years old or 12 years old? Where are they in their actual biological abilities? So taking that into consideration and also knowing that how we grow brains, how we link their prefrontal cortex, how we do their upstairs and downstairs brain, as Dr. Dan Siegel talks about, how we connect them is through connection. So if we want to teach children and optimize their skill set, we need to do that through connection. And we need to be looking at this child as very much under construction. And when we come from that place of humility of like, they're under construction, they're actually doing the best they can in this moment. And for me as a parent, how do I meet them there? And then how do I like take that next step to optimize them or teach them the next skill that they might be asking for us to do? Mm-hmm. We can do that through connection. And we know that from the brain research that when a child or anyone's brain is in a state of relaxation and we are amygdala to amygdala calm, that we are then optimize their ability to learn.
What about those moments when it like feels like they're not actually doing their best? Like they right. could do so much better and like,
I mean, and I can say that in the last 24 hours, that has been a feeling of mine. I am in parent camaraderie. These are thoughts and feelings that we all have as parents. Like, is this really the best you can do? And I think for myself and relying and remembering about the science and using it as a mantra to help like use as a soothing balm to help us move our child, optimize our child and ourselves in that moment. Like it is important for us to like remind ourselves that mantra.
That's balm, B-A-L-M, right? Not B-O-M-B. Cause,
not that kind of.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
the soothing balm.
Yeah. So the word connection I'm hearing on at least three different levels, like mm-hmm. you're talking about helping kiddos connect, you know, upstairs, downstairs, brain, mm-hmm. integrate, right? You're talking about connecting with kiddos as a mechanism or as a pathway to help them make those connections. And you're talking about connecting with other parents. So there's like these three totally. Levels that you're talking about. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And connecting, you know, me as a parent, feeling connected to my child, right? And building that attachment, continuing to like kind of put more money in our connection bank, which is one, makes this whole thing super fun and, you know, that piece, but also optimizes them in terms of growing new skills, being able to access their upstairs part of their brain, and also help them have the relationship so that when I am giving them a directive or I need them to get in the car seat or whatever, doesn't mean they're going to go all the time like, la, 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 I'm going in. But I have put in the time and effort where they feel really seen, and it optimizes the opportunities for them to feel in flow with us and do the things that us parents are asking them to do all the time because we're in control of their scheduling, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like it at times. Like when you're like, get that 2.5-year-old into the car, which I've been there.
For example, yeah.
For example, or any time. Yeah. And then also the other piece, I appreciate you saying that because it's also connection to self, right? Parenting is this really interesting experience where we can really, if allowed the opportunity, feel a different or deeper connection to ourselves mm-hmm. and also to the child within us about how we were parented, what our relationship is to different feelings, whether it's anger, rage, vulnerability. And so there's that connection that we get to build as we go.
Yeah, get to.
That we get
sometimes
to.
Sometimes have to. Yeah, kicking sometimes and screaming.
You're pushed yeah. into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate what you're saying. When I'm connected to myself, which sort of, in my language, would be like when I feel grounded, present, not hijacked, not dissociated or disconnected. When I'm embodied, when I'm present, I can better connect with my kids. And that connection allows my kiddo to feel safe enough to connect with themselves, right?
Yes. So
yeah, you're describing something that's scientific, but it's also quite logical.
Yeah.
And I can see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to name that, like, that we had a call a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I got to talk through something with my kiddo. And so just to paint the picture of what it feels like to work with you, Jenny, is, you know, to have the opportunity to talk through a challenge that I might not talk through with anyone else because we don't, you know, I don't know. And then to have you ask me questions from curiosity and to have you listen. And there was something about me being able to process out loud, like not even process, but just tell my story.
Yes.
And for you to listen. I don't know, that word keeps coming up, like appreciate and validate. And, you know, I was left feeling not just heard, but like normal and, you know, not crazy. And like, you're in this with me.
Yes.
And, you know, you offered just some reframes and some perspective that allowed me to think about it different. And then you suggested, like, you know, me thinking and playing out sort of a, you know, how I might want it to play out. And so it was like a rehearsal for the next time. Mm-hmm. And so I left the call feeling really supported and also like hopeful and inspired. Hmm. So it was amazing. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor. And thank you for sharing that piece because it feels like so healing to feel heard as a parent. We're doing this in isolation in our own little boxes, which anthropologically is not ideal and, you know, logistically, emotionally.
9 out of 10 anthropologists do not recommend.
Do not recommend. And it is so healing within itself just to feel heard and that validation piece. And a part of what is my heart's passion is offering that space to parents, because how do we truly do that for our kids? How do we truly do that from a space of like abundance and wellness, especially if it's coming at us? If you have 2 kids, 3 kids, however many times a day, they want to be heard, right? They want to be heard because their cup spilled and it was the worst thing. And then this happened. And why is this happening? And this person has this at school or whatever it is. And we're kind of being asked to be this container of listening. And as community, And the work that I see is giving ourselves that space and being that space so that we can also feel heard, so we can be those hearing places.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, well, two things. One is that whenever I've received support and guidance from you, it's there's that deep sense of like, someone's hearing me and like has been here and knows what it's like, and that like is amazing in and of itself. And then you also are this like well of tools and ideas and strategies, and so there's this beautiful, like you said, chance to sort of to feel heard, so that now I know what I'm going to get to offer my kid. My kid's going to get to feel the way I do right now. If I'm like actually listening to them. You're also modeling for me what it looks like and is like to listen. And then you're like, okay, now let's talk, think about what's going on here, analyze what's going on here, what's going on for them. But, you know, and like both of our wives are therapists. Mm-hmm. You know, we're both coaches. Dave is a therapist. Like there's a way in which like, I can do this for strangers.
Totally.
But like me and Rachel, it's like, we'll both be like, what do we do? You know, it's right. Like, well, let's call Jenny, you know? And then it's like, Jenny will know. Mm. And then you can also hear us in a way that like, we can't hear each other.
Totally.
And so just, there's something really, yeah, beautiful and powerful about all of that.
Thank you. Yeah. And you know, it's just, when you said it, it was almost like painting another picture of community, right? Like we, you know, the way that you and Rachel are being asked to be in service and show up for your kids, and that you also need to be held and all the way back, and how we are just meant to do this in community, and that is, that feels like, yeah, like a political, it feels big for me.
Yeah, important for raising children. I mean, what could be more important than, you know, tending to our kids? And how are we supposed to do it without each other, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's harmful to isolate.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we also have all sorts of stories around like, I'm supposed to just know how to do this, right? Like I remember the day where I like packed up my first kid, got in the car to go home, or maybe some people were at home when they had their child, or maybe their child came to however way. And like, we're just supposed to know how to do this. And it can feel so isolating and terrifying and sad and confusing. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. And a part of me feels so strongly about changing that, just changing that.
Well, and I have an inkling of a suspicion that like, in addition to helping parents, whether it's one-on-one or two-on-one, that you'll also be weaving parents together in all sorts of ways, whether that's like explicitly in your offerings or sort of in subterranean ways, like witnessing you as a community member and as a connector. I have no doubt that you'll be fomenting that. And I think that like, yeah, when the work with Council of Fathers, it's like, it's so powerful just to like be with a group of other parents, other dads in this case. But like, and I know that moms love being in groups of other moms.
Right. Yeah. It's true. And I am doing virtual group and an in-person group once a week to talk about, it'll be topic-based and skill-based, and that'll be a part of the group. And then another part is just us being able to be there, creating that container of space to be there for each other. And when we're talking about the power of being listened to or heard, inherently it will create that community where, oh, this is another parent that I can go to and talk to about this. And we're all in it together, alone together, and helping each other rise to our next level of optimization.
Beautiful. Can I ask you like a practical question?
Sure.
A lot of dads in council bring up anger as an emotion that comes up sometimes for the first time for dads, like not like they've never been angry before, but they never thought of themselves as an angry person. And then all of a sudden a screaming baby in the middle of the night, or a screaming toddler in the middle of the day, or or a screaming spouse in the evening, you know, whatever it is, all of a sudden something is getting surfaced that is unfamiliar and a little bit like overpowering. And I can certainly relate to that, you know, the calm, cool guy that never gets mad until, oh my gosh, the most important time in my life to keep my cool. And now I'm watching myself lose, you know, flip my lid, as Dan Siegel says. So yeah, I'd love to just hear your thoughts on how to work with that anger, or even just being triggered as a parent. How do you work with that with parents?
I love this question. And I especially love it because I think it's part of the recipe that we can be in as parents of like feeling shame around it, which keeps it quiet, right? And keeps us isolated. So I think it's really important. I'm so grateful for the Council of Fathers to talk about anger and bring it out so that we can see it and we can start learning about it and, you know, welcoming it into the room and having it sit right next to us and learn about our anger. And I think it's really interesting, Dave, that you said, you know, for you, it was what? Like, I never saw myself as this. This is like switching how I see myself. Or for some people, it's like, oh yeah, you know, this doesn't surprise me. Or maybe for some people, they're like, I had a lot of this growing up and I told myself I wasn't going to be like this. And now I am. What do I do with that? That feels really sad and scary and hard and lonely. So I think there's a lot here. And I think it's, again, Council of Fathers, myself, I want to normalize that first and foremost around seeing anger, having a relationship with anger that might feel very new and different as from becoming a parent. And I know for me, I feel like my shoulders and a deep sigh of relief, because I think a part of what we do as humans is we want to like push things away that don't feel good or don't feel right. And a part of the sigh of relief is around like normalizing and welcoming in anger as a feeling. Maybe not necessarily how I played it out when I got mad about X, Y, and Z with my kid. I don't feel great about how it unfolded, but how do I start being in conversation and in relationship to my anger? So, I mean, the first thing is that we all come from different families that showed us either in direct or indirect ways, is anger okay? Am I allowed to feel angry? Are only certain people allowed in my family to be angry? All those kinds of things, right? So a part of it is, what were the messages that we received about anger as a kid? And giving ourselves the time, the space, whether it's in Council of Fathers or with a, you know, mentor, a parent support, like, what was that like for me? Giving that like younger person in me some time to think about that and allow it to be heard. So, I mean, I think it's really normal that, you know, for a while you're just kind of like, I'm not an angry person. That is not my flair. And then parenthood and then adulthood happens and you're still like, all right, I'll get mad here and there, but it's not a big deal. Well, then you become a parent and like, it can feel like rapid fire. You're not sleeping well. You have so much more to manage. And all of a sudden, like, this anger is coming up and you're just like, what is happening? Right? I think a lot, like, there's so much to be said about that. Part of it as, you know, society as parents, we're not very supported. The way that we're structured as a society here is not, we're not supported. There's a lot there, but I think that it's important to just talk about that, the anger and the rage that enters when we become a parent, that it can bring us to our knees in humility. So I think a part of my work is reminding us as parents and humans that we're also still in our unfolding and our becoming, and that feeling anger arising in us is an opportunity for us to rise in our skill levels that we haven't possibly been pushed or taught to do originally or yet. And for our child's sake, as well as our own sake, it's an opportunity for us. Of course, as parents, we're like, I could use a little less opportunity to grow. Give me a break. And it is. That anger is, interestingly, a necessary part of the human condition. And maybe just as individuals, we haven't been taught or know how to use it as a helpful medicine quite yet.
Mm. I mean, one thing that's just showing up for me in hearing this is that a big part of the problem is the demonization of anger, and the there's not like a learning around how to use it. And anger can cause harm. It can cause a lot of harm, yes. But it doesn't have to. Yes. And it usually only causes harm if and when like we don't know how to be with it or metabolize it or move it or... And part of why we don't know how to is because, you know, well, no one else gets angry and I never see anybody else gets, you know, I've actually had the experience of like getting angry in public and then, you know, being shamed by certain people, even as an adult, you know, like, and if not maybe explicitly being shamed by them, feeling shame of like, ooh, I let myself like express anger, you know, and, or checking in was like, was that okay? I mean, I tried not to be too intense, and but like, I was just trying to set a boundary and be very clear about that. And so, yeah, just there's a lot of ambiguity around what is okay and isn't okay with regards to anger, and then there's a lot of like sometimes clarity around what's not okay with anger, and but then it's like, well, what is okay?
And, yeah. Right, and again, it's this interesting kind of us raising our children and our children raising us, right? So as a parent, I want to welcome all the parts of my children, including the angry part, right? And so part of my work, whether it's helping support a parent or supporting my kids, is saying yes to that feeling and probably a no to them hitting them, their brother, out of anger. Right. So it's like, how do we also say like yes to the feeling, and what's it a tap on the shoulder? What's the anger trying to tell me as a messenger? Is it telling me that a boundary has been crossed and I haven't set that with my kids, or, and I need to do some, you know, conversations with them around what isn't okay or not okay. And then just keep setting that. Is it a limit that I need to set? Is it a fear coming up for me that I'm worried about how my kid is going to be viewed, or I worry that if they never say thank you, if they don't say thank you now, they'll never, ever, ever say thank you. So I have to do something in this moment to make them an okay adult someday. So I think anger can be such a messenger on our values, our promises to ourselves, our dreams and aspirations for our child and ourselves. And if used as a tool, it can be one of our more powerful ones. And of course, when we lose it, which inevitably that also happens in my house as well, how do we also use anger as a teaching moment, a moment for us to teach about repair, and that we're also humans and we're still in our becoming. So how do we use that also as medicine and learning for our kids?
I love that. So if, you know, if I came to you and we were talking about anger, we would sort of strategize around, you know, how to work with shame when it comes up, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. How to use anger in a healthy way, like get clear about what it's trying to say. Mm-hmm. And how to repair or reconnect with kiddos after I flip my lid or they flip their lid, right? And using it to connect, actually. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the ultimate goal, is to be in connection and to reconnect when we're out of connection.
Yeah. I'm forgetting the actual stats, but it's like the importance of repair is dramatically higher than, it's more important the repair than it is how many times we rupture. So using rupture as an opportunity to actually be in more connection to our children, to ourselves, to our partners. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. So lastly, we just wanted to let people know how to reach you.
Okay.
Like if someone wants to get support from you, how do they find you?
My website is jsparenting.com. And I work at the Niwot Learning Collective part of the time and part of the time at home. And I'm also available for Zoom calls. So I'm available for all sorts of things. A walk in the park, wherever you're, not wherever, but where it makes sense to meet and connect. That feels good.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here and for talking with us. And Noah, you got anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes, obviously. But I have a question. If you could make a billboard for parents, and you know that every parent would see, what would you want to put on that billboard?
I love that question. Okay, I'm going to close my eyes and picture this billboard. Something like, slow down and connect. Heal our relationships, heal the world. No, hold on. Slow down and connect. Heal through relationships, heal ourselves, heal the world.
I love that. And I love the way that, you know, expressed in that and in everything that you do is this way of holding like the preciousness and an importance of this individual relationship, this individual parent-child connection, and how that is such a part of the entire world, right? And that we can't, you know, wish or dream or hope for world peace, you know, without hoping for or working towards peace in our own home. And peace doesn't necessarily mean avoiding conflict. It means knowing how to be in conflict in a loving way and in a connected way. And so, yeah, I really appreciate that.
Exactly. Thanks, Noah. Mm. And Dave, thank you so much for reaching out and inviting me and also inviting this conversation and being a part of a movement that sees parenting as a very, very important job, that sees parenting as valuable. I just really appreciate what you're doing out in community for fathers and parents, bringing parents together and highlighting the importance of this work and the brutal, as Glennon Doyle would say, the beautiful, brutal journey that it is, and that it's really important to do it in community and to not feel alone. Mm. So thank you for the work that you're doing and how it ripples out into the world.
Thank you. Thank you. It's our honor and delight. I'm grateful that we've been able to make a contribution, however big or small, right, in this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm lucky that our kids are in community together because they get to benefit from both of your fathering around them. So lucky me.
Mm. I mean, I think that just, yeah, that also touches on that piece of like the way this community, like, kids shouldn't just be parented by their own mother and father, but like by their sort of aunts and uncles, whether those are blood aunts and uncles or friend aunts and uncles or both. Yeah. I was just gonna ask, like, what do you love about different ages of kids? And like, do you have a favorite age that you're most excited about? Or, I mean, I know you, mm-hmm. right? There's this, the spectrum and the breadth and...
I love the zone I'm in right now with a 9 and a 12-year-old. It is really fun. The conversations and the abilities and the new independence that it's asking of. And I'm really enjoying this. Ooh. And I also really appreciate preschool age. I think that is such a fun, wild time, and also exhausting and hard. You know, one of my favorite ages and developmental stages is hanging out with other people's kids, which is true. It's just true. I love to be able to relive those times, but it's from a place of like, I'm not doing all the other things that are really hard, which is hilarious and a joy for me. Is, you know, spending time with a 2.5-year-old that actually isn't mine and really being able to see that age and phase with more clarity than when I was in it myself.
And giving those parents a break.
That's right. And giving those parents a break and it being joyful for everyone. Mm.
You know, what's crazy, Jenny, is that we've been just talking about your relationship with parents, but your relationship with kids is also so precious. I mean, I love how you interact with my kids. My kids love you. But there's just this way that you're so, I mean, you can tell you love them as people, not as children. There isn't this like top-down kind of thing that some parents have or discomfort around talking. You're like, you light up when you see children and you like to be in the classroom with them and helping them knit and stuff like that. I mean, I just really appreciate how you are with kiddos too. And I think that's important for your work. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not just a parent whisperer. You speak the language of kiddos and you have an understanding of them because you spend time with them and you listen to them and you get how their brains work and how they think and how they feel and how they act because you're in there with them. Mm. You're not just observing them from afar. So I feel like that's important for the work that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I got to volunteer yesterday and do, you know, a restorative justice moment with some third grade students. And it really is so helpful and also a passion of mine to be able to be in relationship to kids and help them understand themselves and help them work through things as a part of the work too. Yeah.
Did you have that as a kid? Did you have adults that were?
I did not learn this stuff. Yeah. And I know that a lot of the information that I have learned becoming a parent, and even since getting my master's degree, we're learning so much more about the brain and getting so much more information. I think, I don't know, when we were being parented, I think there was like a parenting book and no internet. So I think that our parents did the best they could. And no, a lot of things I didn't know about.
Yeah. And it's sort of been your mission to become that.
Yeah.
And to learn what wasn't available then. Yeah.
And also didn't feel available to me as a new parent.
Right.
It felt really lonely and confusing and hard.